Okay. We're gonna do this intro. But I understand I'm annoyed. But nonetheless, welcome to NBA Clutch Time, presented by the Playmakers Radio and hosted by yours truly, Brandon Burroughs, aka Yasha the Beast. We are back, we are here, we are live, and we are lit. So let's get into it. Listen. It's about time, but about that time, we got something to talk about, folks. And I'm screw it. Like, I'm here for it, right? What's up with all the BS? Can we be real for a second? What's up with all the BS? Like, I see a lot of shade getting thrown at the Nets. And we all know I'm a Laker, right? We all know that. See a lot of shade getting thrown at the Nets for doing what the Lakers already did. Now, is somebody going to explain this to me? Like, is there something I missed here? Is there, like, you know, was there something going on that, you know, were there, like, 5 superstar signings going to Brooklyn, where everybody's currently in their prime, or something like that? Cause that's what y'all, that's what a lot of people making it sound like. That's what a lot of people making it sound like. Just so we can get an idea of what exactly is going on here. The Brooklyn Nets signed LaMarcus Aldridge, a player who has not made an All-Star game in the last couple years, a player who's only averaging 13.5 points, a big man who's only averaging 4.5 rebounds, 1 block, and shooting 46% from the field. Is there something I'm missing? Y'all making a big scene because they signed that? Oh, and you know what? Let's take it to the next level. Let's take it to the next level. They also signed Blake Griffin, a player who's currently averaging 11.5 points per game, 5 rebounds, nowhere near a block. Kyrie's averaging more blocks per game than Blake Griffin is. Shooting 38% from the field. And y'all making a scene about that? Y'all making it seem like these boys are out here signing superstar players. Did they get James Harden via the trade? Yes, they did. Was that a huge move? Yes, it was. Biggest move of the year. We all know that. But LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin? Y'all up in arms about that? Y'all on some stuff, man. Y'all on some BS, man. One thing I'm not about to do, I'm not about to sit here and make it seem like they just signed 2 star players. It's like a 31-year-old who's past his prime. Granted, he should be in his prime. But hasn't made an all-star game. Listen, let's be real about this. Since 2016, Blake Griffin made 1 all-star game. Since 2016. And y'all up in arms about that? 11.5 points a game? Y'all do know that the Lakers picked up Montrezl Harrell over the offseason, right? Y'all do know that they picked up Dennis Schroeder over the offseason, right? Two 18 to 19 point per game players. Lakers picked both of them up. Y'all do realize that, right? Y'all do realize when the Lakers somehow got Marc Gasol, at first it was a big deal. Now we're starting to see that Marc Gasol is over the hill. But y'all see Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge is over the hill? 11.5 and 13.5 points? Coming from players that used to average 20 to 25 a game? And that's what y'all upset about? Grow up. Grow up. Grow the hell up. And it's really y'all LeBron fans that's out there doing it. And I really need y'all to get a grip on reality and stop acting like these boys came out here and signed two players that's going to be able to drop 30 on somebody's head. Stop living in the damn past. Stop it. The Lakers just signed Andre Drummond, who just last year had more 20 and 20 games than the rest of the league. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need y'all to quit. Like, please. Just stop it. As Brooklyn and LA have been making their moves, nobody's been talking about the Clippers. That Rondo pickup was very, very useful. Rondo's not a superstar player. Rondo's not an all-star player no more. He's not. But he's still one of the smartest, one of the smartest players in the league. And statistically, playoff Rondo's over the hill. But intangible and smart-wise, oh, he's still there. He's still there. Also, a little birdie told me that it really comes down to the Clippers and the Celtics of who's going to get DeMarcus Cousins. And boy, listen. I hope them Clippers get DeMarcus Cousins. It's going to be something nice, man. Just listen to that lineup. DeMarcus Cousins, Marcus Morris, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Patrick Beverley. Or Rajon Rondo. I don't know about y'all, but that sounds pretty solid to me. That sounds pretty solid to me. In other news, everybody's up in arms about Kevin Durant telling a 35-year-old LaMarcus Aldridge, who only averages 13.5 a game, hey, come on down here. Come on down to Brooklyn. But what about LeBron James trying to recruit Stephen Curry? Wardell. Are we serious? Kevin Durant was talking to a 13.5 point per game player, trying to get him to come to the Nets. LeBron James was talking to a 29, 5 and 6 actually. 29 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Shooting 47.5% from the field, 41% from three, 93% from the free throw line. That's who LeBron was trying to get. But y'all all up in arms about Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets. Oh, he's doing all this just to try and stop a 36-year-old. Shut up. Shut your damn mouth. Shut up. Shut up. Please shut up. Do me a favor and shut up. Okay? Okay? Shut up. Y'all swear every single move in the league is to stop LeBron James. I saw one of you dummies post up that teams since 2010 have been building to beat LeBron James. Since 2010? Since 2010. What the hell team did the Mavs build to beat LeBron James? None. But they stopped him, right? OKC didn't build no damn team to stop LeBron James. I didn't think they knew that they were going to make the finals that year. San Antonio definitely ain't built no squad to beat LeBron James. Hell, they've had the same damn squad for the last 25 years. That shit wasn't to beat LeBron. Let's get that out of the way. Golden State Warriors have been building that team since 2009. They've had to make adjustments, but they've been building around Steph Curry since 2009. That wasn't to stop a player who was not winning in 2009. Everybody's saying that these teams are building just to stop LeBron. You mean to do it with the loser record? He's lost to Tim Duncan, who doesn't recruit players. He's lost to Dirk Nowitzki, who does not recruit players. Had a good chance of losing to Jimmy Butler, who usually don't recruit no damn players either. Had his team would have been healthy, Miami had a shot at winning that last year. He lost to Stephen Curry before he started recruiting players. So stop with this BS narrative that teams are building just to beat LeBron. You want to say that about Kawhi Leonard? Teams are building, or Kawhi was trying to build a team to beat LeBron James? Fine. You can say that if you want to. He's beaten LeBron before without having to build a team. It was the MVP doing it. Finals MVP. You want to argue that Kevin Durant did it? Fine. Fine. You can say that if you really, really want to. But it's not like LeBron didn't build his team to beat Dirk. It's not like LeBron didn't build his team to beat Paul Pierce. It's not like LeBron didn't build his team to beat Tim Duncan. It's not like LeBron didn't try and build his team to beat Steph Curry. He did it too. Stop acting like he didn't. Shut the hell up. Like, goddamn. I swear, man. And you know what? This wasn't even a part of the narrative segment. That's the funny thing. This wasn't even a part of the narratives segment. Ain't that something? Now that I got that out of the way, We'll be back after a short break. Please stay tuned, because we still got some talking to do. Because if I know one thing for sure, two things for certain, is that y'all gonna grow up one way or another. Y'all gonna grow up. Okay, we are back. We are back. Now, I think it's time that we do our power rankings. So, let's get into these rankings. Now, of course, as you know, I do it by the whole league. I don't do it piece by piece, or you know, conference by conference or division by division. I do it the league as a whole. Okay, so I've got Utah number one, as usual. That's where they've been. That's where they belong so far throughout the whole entire season. I don't think that's going to change. Phoenix is number two. Phoenix has been doing absolutely amazing. I refuse to let anybody tell me otherwise. They can call it luck. They can call it whatever. This is the Chris Paul effect and Devin Booker's superstardom. The Brooklyn Nets at number three. Nets, of course, are looking very strong, very solid, but still, you know, no KD. The Philadelphia 76ers at number four. Philly's 32-15, same thing as the Brooklyn Nets. And, you know, they're doing exactly what they should be doing. You know, I feel like there's been, they've gotten certain pieces that just fit their puzzle very well. Number five, the Clippers. They've been seven and three over the last eight. They were on a 6-game win streak before that, recently got snapped by the Orlando Magic. And overall, you know, they're playing solid basketball, even though they're missing some of their players. They're still playing very solid basketball, and, you know, keeping that pace. The Lakers have dropped down to number six. No LeBron, no AD. And, you know, it's going to be a struggle for the Lakers without those two players. They're 6-4 of the last 10. Number seven, the Milwaukee Bucks. Haven't been hearing a lot about the Bucks, but they have a 63% win record. They're 29-17, so they're still doing everything that they need to be doing. They're just doing it quieter, if, you know, for, I guess, for better terms. The Denver Nuggets at number eight, 29-18, 60, almost a 62% win record. They're 7-3 of their last 10. You know, Denver is doing very Denver things. Number nine, Portland Trailblazers, 28-18, 61% win record. 7-3 of their last 10. You know, they won three straight as well. Number 10, the Dallas Mavericks. They're 24-21. Dallas has definitely made a turnaround from where they were in the beginning of the season. You know, now that the players are starting to get healthy, they're getting their groove back. You know, things are starting to happen again. And, you know, that is what matters, for them. They've been 5-5. Of your last 10, so you know, should be better, could be better, but they're not right now. San Antonio Spurs, number 11. 23-21, so still got a winning record, but you know, we're gonna see what happens and how this plays out. Number 12, the Charlotte Hornets. They're 24-22, so they have a winning record, 52% win record right now. I'm at the point right now where I'm just wondering how this is going to go with no LaMelo Ball. They're 6-4 of the last 10, but, you know, LaMelo is a very key part of that team. I still think he has a chance of getting rookie of the year.
Number 13, the New York Julius Randles. Knicks. The New York Knicks. I'm sorry. No, man. As a team, the Knicks definitely been balling out. They have some of the best defense that the league could possibly offer, especially with this pace that the league has been played in. You know, they're at 24-23, so their head's right above water. They have a 51.1% win record right now. So give it up to the New York Knicks. Number 14, Memphis Grizzlies. They're 22-22, even 50% win record. You know, Ja Morant is going to go out there and do Ja Morant things, but at the same time, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies still have a way to go. Number 15, the Atlanta Hawks. Now, I'm kind of on the fritz on basically on who I wanted to give this to between the Hawks and the Boston Celtics. Right now, it goes to the Hawks just because they've been 6-4 the last 10. The Celtics right underneath them with 4-6 of their last 10. So Boston Celtics gets that 16th spot. Right underneath them, we have the Golden State Warriors, who's also 23-24. So the Hawks, the Celtics, the Warriors, and the Miami Heat are all 23-24. They're all mid-level right now, 15 through 18. All right, so underneath the Warriors is the Miami Heat. Why do I have it like that? You know, it's not for any specific reason. It's more of a thing of, you look at the last 10 games, right? And I'm willing to switch Boston with Miami. Both of them have a 4-6 record, but at least Miami has won their last game. Boston lost their last game. Sacramento Kings, number 19, they're 22-25 right now, 47% win record, but they have won their last five games, and they're 7-3 of their last 10 games. So, Sactown looks like they've been trying to turn it around, and looks like they have not been doing a bad job of doing so. Indiana Pacers, number 20, they are 21-24 right now. Pacers are struggling to, you know, kind of keep up the pace of where they were going. And it's time to rethink some decisions, of what's going to be happening in Indiana. Number 21, the Pelicans. Now the Pelicans have been 6-4 of their last 10 games. They won two straight. They're 21-25 altogether. Okay. Now against Western Conference teams, they're 12-17. So they have to get better when playing against Western Conference teams, because that's really why they have a losing record right now. They have a winning record against, you know, Eastern Conference teams. And they play pretty fair at home. They're 14-11 at home, but they're 7-14 on the road. You know, you got to learn how to play better on the road. The Chicago Bulls, 19-26, right? They are the 22nd spot, by the way, just in case, you know, you guys need to be kept up with this. Four-game losing streak. But Zach LaVine now has Nikola Vucevic, which means that he's going to have more help next to him besides Lauri Markkanen. And I'm really, really, really interested to see how Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic work together, because I think that's actually going to be a pretty good tandem. But nonetheless, this ain't about what I think. This ain't about what you think. This is about what's going to happen on the court. Oklahoma City Thunder, 19-27. They are ranked 23rd right now. Really not much to talk about in OKC. So I'm going to keep moving. Toronto Raptors are number 24. You know, missed the whole Kyle Lowry situation, and if they were going to deal him, if they weren't going to deal him. Toronto Raptors definitely lost their way. And you saw that coming after Kawhi Leonard left. After Kawhi Leonard left, everybody was talking about how Toronto was going to still, you know, how good they were doing in the regular season. But then they got to the playoffs, really didn't do that well. Right. And then that's where Kawhi's clutchness and his defensive ability and his efficient, you know, scoring comes into play. Kawhi is not a vocal leader, but Kawhi is definitely an on-the-court leader, and I'd rather have my leaders lead by example. And that is what Kawhi Leonard was to the Toronto Raptors. Nonetheless, it's not about Kawhi Leonard more than this is about the Toronto Raptors. They just, you know, they need to start rebuilding. That's basically where they're at. Washington Wizards, number 25. They are 17-29. I definitely expected more of the Washington Wizards. I think the world expected more of the Washington Wizards. But truth be told, they just do not have a winning formula. You know, they went out and got Russell Westbrook over the offseason. Think that that was going to really help their woes in Washington. Fact of the matter was, they shouldn't have got rid of John Wall. That was John Wall's team. And although, you know, Houston really ain't nothing to talk about themselves, John Wall has shown that he still has it. His passing, not as much as it used to be, but nonetheless, he still knows how to drop a dime when he needs to. His scoring output is still pretty good, especially for, you know, the amount of times that he's actually taking shots in the games and the way that he is scoring. And 360 layups, don't get old. Keep going, John Wall. Number 26, Cleveland Cavaliers. We already knew what this was going to be. Nothing to talk about there. 27, Orlando Magic. They already got rid of the three best players on that team. So, I mean, they're 16-31 already as it is. Nothing to talk about there. Same thing with Detroit. No more Derrick Rose. No more Blake Griffin. It's not like they were really doing that much for the team to begin with, but it's time for Detroit to start looking for their next star. Houston Rockets, 13-33. They've had bad luck ever since they got rid of DeMarcus Cousins. You know, that's exactly what they get. No offense to John Wall. I think John Wall's a phenomenal talent. And I think he can still lead a team to a playoff berth. However, not that team. But on the other hand, they have missed Christian Wood for a good amount of time. But that was even more reason to keep DeMarcus Cousins, and, you know, they kind of fumbled the ball. So with that being said, they're going to have to deal with the consequences. And, of course, in dead last, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves, 11-36. They have a 23% win record. And, you know, they're just trying to laugh and talk of the NBA. Really nothing to talk about there. Never was anything to talk about there after Jimmy Butler left that team. And who knows when there will be something to talk about when it comes down to the Minnesota Timberwolves ever again. Hate to say it like that, but come on. They were in such a long drought without KG. Now they're back in a drought without Jimmy Butler. It's like, okay. I think we all know how this goes. So good luck with finding your next top-tier talent that's going to end up taking you to the playoffs. But I bet you regret, you know, letting Jimmy walk now, don't you? Sometimes you got to cherish what you got before you don't got it no more. And that is a life lesson that is currently being taught in Minnesota, guys. All right. That is it for your power rankings. And we are going to take a short break one more time, and we'll be right back. Okay, back again. We are back again. And, you know, I'm going to get into the narratives. I'm going to jump into the narratives and hurry up and get this off my chest. You LeBron fans are ridiculous. You're ridiculous. I am at the point now where somebody posted up LeBron's best, what was it? LeBron's best teammates, the last 6 years versus KD's best teammates in the last 6 years. You wonder why they only narrowed it down to 6 years? LeBron's been in the league. This is 18th year. You wonder why they narrowed it down to six? Because they know if they tell the truth, there's going to be something to be said. And it's going to hurt their feelings. Now, since it was brought up about Kevin Durant having LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin on these teams, let's really talk about it. Last 10 years, LeBron James has had Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Ray Allen. Now, not all of these players are superstars and all-stars, but at least from a good player, a solid, productive player and beyond, just notables. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, Anthony Davis, Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, Mo Williams. Actually, no, I'm sorry, last 10 years. So no Mo Williams. Now, if we said 12 years, Mo Williams. Where was I? Oh, right. J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, Tristan Thompson. Let's see here. Rashard Lewis. Shane Battier. Let's just stop the list right there. Is that not enough? I can name people like Rondo as well. I can name people like KCP as well. I can name people like Brandon Ingram as well. You get my drift here? Are we not getting it? Like, you finally understand, right? LeBron fans really believe LeBron can carry any team, any living, walking, breathing team to a championship or at least to the finals. LeBron couldn't even get the Lakers a good enough win record to make the playoffs before Anthony Davis got there. And everybody will sit back and say, oh, but LeBron was injured. LeBron was injured. Didn't he still play like north of like 60 games that year? So LeBron playing in 60 games can't get you to the playoffs? All right, not in the West. Without Anthony Davis, not in the West. When he had Brandon Ingram, now an all-star. Lonzo Ball, now a solid player. Kyle Kuzma, diminished role because the Lakers ended up getting more better players. He couldn't do it. But when he got a more established version of Rondo, you know, figuring out what his role on that team was going to be, and Anthony Davis. Oh, yeah. Then y'all start making all that noise, right? Right? Okay. I see you. Y'all fans are so two-faced, it's ridiculous. Y'all more two-faced than one of them Batman villains. And the crazy thing is, you're just afraid to admit all of your double standards. All of them. And then you got the nerve to say, well, if Michael Jordan had LeBron James teams, he wouldn't be near 6-0 in the finals. Well, if Michael Jordan had LeBron James teams, he would have beat the Orlando Magic in 09. If Michael Jordan had LeBron James teams, and let's be real about this, he would have beat the Dallas Mavericks in Miami. He would have beaten the San Antonio Spurs in 2014. He would have beaten the Golden State Warriors in 2017. You know, when they still had Kyrie. You had Kyrie, Love, LeBron James, J.R. Smith going against Steph, Clay, KD, and Dre. Yeah, that's a pretty fair matchup. Take out LeBron James, add in Michael Jordan. Oh, Golden State's getting this work. Not to say that Golden State's not going to put up a fight. I could see that series going to 7 games. That probably would have been Michael's only game 7 in the finals. Michael Jordan would have swept that Miami Heat team that was injured. But y'all don't want to talk about that one. Injured. But I digress. I digress. Right? Because this is all opinion based, right? We all know that. It's all opinion based. But the fact of the matter is, Jordan was a better scorer. Jordan was a better defender. Jordan was a better leader. Jordan was better in the clutch. Jordan was a better free throw shooter. And Jordan had a never say die attitude. So you can spin it however you want to spin it. But Jordan would have at least had a winning record in them finals. Can guarantee that. Jordan's first times in the finals. His first four times in the finals, he would have went 4-0 against the Dallas Mavericks, the OKC Thunder, and the San Antonio Spurs the first two times. Jordan would have went undefeated in the finals the first four times. Then 2015 comes. The injury happens, right, to Kyrie. You know why? I can see Jordan taking that to a game seven. Had LeBron would have played some defense and, you know, gotten Timothy Mozgov more involved, he would have won that series, believe it or not. Because LeBron's really that fucking good. Excuse my language. LeBron's really that good. But in the finals, LeBron James is not Mr. Smart Guy. He's not the best shooter. He's not the best defender. He usually leads in turnovers. And then y'all wonder why we bring up the fact that he has a losing record. Because y'all look at his stats and think that they are everything. Y'all sit back and say that he's had trash teams. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at the fact that in his career, Kyrie has averaged 20 plus points per game multiple times with LeBron James as a teammate. Dwayne Wade has done it. Anthony Davis has done it. Chris Bosh came very close and so did Kevin Love. So LeBron James in his career has had five teammates average 17 plus points per game next to him going into a finals. Kobe's never had that. Jordan's never had that. LeBron has had that. Kobe's never had that and walked away with a winning record. Jordan's never had that and walked away undefeated. And then y'all sit back and talk about Jordan's opponents in the finals. Oh, well, LeBron James faced more Hall of Famers. LeBron James ran it back with more Hall of Famers, first and foremost. And to top it off, LeBron James went to more finals and played more years. Yeah, he should run into more Hall of Famers. But who does he run into on the way to the finals? Oh, Jordan running into grocery store beggars. Okay, well, LeBron James runs into LA Fitness football players and baseball players and soccer players, barely any basketball players, right? And thugs, gangsters, Crips and Bloods. That's who LeBron runs into. People who didn't grow up playing basketball, apparently. People who would rather grow up gangbanging. And swimming at LA Fitness. And esports gamers. Woo, it's got to be tough playing against those esports gamers. They flick right on the control stick and Lord knows what happens next. Yeah, that's what LeBron James played against. If Michael Jordan played against grocery store baggers and all this other stuff that y'all love saying that Jordan, oh, he went against janitors. Okay. LeBron's went against gamers. At least Jordan went against people with a job. That simple. Oh, and State Farm agents, right? Oh, Lord. No offense to Chris Paul. The point God. Now, I say all that to say this. Stop making yourselves look bad. Because y'all are the reasons why people don't like LeBron James. Well, that and some of his antics, demanding respect, and not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not... Shut up. Because he didn't deliver on that. He puts his foot in his mouth. But the only people who do it more than him are his fans. Now, off the court, LeBron's an amazing guy. We know that. LeBron James is the definition of black excellence. Off of the court. I mean, on the court, we all know that dude's one of the greatest to ever touch the basketball. We know that. We ain't disputing that. But he ain't the greatest. He ain't the best. Because if he did, his record will follow it. Kareem's record followed it. Jordan's record followed it. Kobe's record followed it. LeBron doesn't. Despite the fact that he's had five players average more than 17 a game going to the finals. Multiple seasons. But once again, that's something y'all don't want to talk about. And that's okay. Because as soon as you put a LeBron fan in their place, all they do is switch the narrative. They cannot finish a conversation when LeBron's losing. So they have to change the narrative. And that is now the narrative. LeBron's not the problem. His fan base is. You guys are worse than Beyonce's beehive. Congratulations. You deserve an award. With that being said, it is now 10 o'clock p.m. and I'm going to sign off. Thank you to everybody who supports NBA Clutch Time. Thank you for everybody who listens in. I will definitely be making sure to get back to you guys. Sorry for the recent haste in, the drought of content that you guys have been getting lately. Some life changes has been happening. Got a new job as well. And, some stuff has been happening. I want to give a quick rest in peace to Jordan Coleman, a young 16-year-old who was shot on First Street here in Rochester, New York. My thoughts and prayers go out to your family. Much love to you and your family. So please rest in peace, rest in paradise, and rest up. No 16-year-old, especially no 16-year-old who's not out here, robbing and shooting and killing people, deserves to go through what he had to go through. So rest in peace. I share and shed tears whenever our dearly beloveds become dearly departed. So, I shed a few tears for you, Jordan. I've actually ran into him a couple of times over at First Street Park. Now, this is not the area that he got killed at. It was actually more towards First and Clifford, but nonetheless, First Street is First Street. And I've ran into him, a few times. Well, more than a few times, at the basketball courts at First Street. He used to love playing basketball with me whenever he saw me, used to love seeing me pass the ball to him. He would, practice on his shot a couple of times. And, it's just tragic that it had to end so early like that. All I'm going to ask y'all is please, whatever y'all out here doing, keep the kids out of it, man. Keep the damn kids out of it. But everybody have a great night. Thank you. Love you all.